What an incredible experience of worship we've already had together. And on this special Memorial Day weekend, we are so mindful of those who have sacrificed their lives so that we could worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they were willing to give their all so that you and I could enjoy this amazing encounter of God's presence through worship. We do want to continue praying for all the families affected by those who have sacrificed their life for our freedom. And we're so grateful for you joining us for this online experience. And we're going to be diving into God's Word in just a moment, but I do want to give you an update related to our road to regathering. Originally, we were planning on regathering next Sunday, May 31st, and we've had to move that to June 7th because of some developments related to the COVID-19 season that we're in. So we felt that it would be wise to move our service to June 7th, and we look forward to regathering on that Sunday. This season that we are in has generated such a season of uncertainty, hasn't it? As you think about all the adjustments you've had to make in your own life, in your own rhythm, your own schedule, and we're just longing for a sense of normalcy. If we could just get back to normal. But the reality is, our normal is not going to be like it used to be. It will be our new normal. And we've been marching through this series that we launched last Sunday morning, Navigating Your New Normal. What does that look like? And how do we get from here to there? And we've been marching through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah's story is so conducive to the journey that we're on, and we can learn some insights from Nehemiah that will help us in our navigating our new normal. So I do invite you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 2 on this beautiful Sunday the Lord has given us. Navigating your new normal. And what I want to focus on this morning is the concept of walking in wisdom. If we've ever needed wisdom, it is now. If we ever needed God to infuse us with His wisdom, it is now. How to navigate this season, how to navigate this terrain that is so unfamiliar to us, so new to us. How do we navigate this new normal? More than ever, we need God's wisdom. So I want us to look at God's Word together and talk about walking in wisdom. You know, knowledge is knowing how to take something apart. Wisdom is knowing how to put it back together. Knowledge is learning from your mistakes, and wisdom is learning from the mistakes of others. And we want to know how to walk in wisdom, how to live our lives in such a way that it will bring honor to God, and our passion is to live in the center of God's will. In order to do that, we need God's wisdom. I'm going to encourage you to write these three essentials down as I share them with you from God's Word this morning. Let me go ahead and give you essential number one to walking in wisdom. Here it is. Practice self-control. Now, that happens to be a fruit of the Spirit. We know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Paul told Timothy, his son in the ministry, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. We find here in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1, if you'll look with me in your Bible or on your smartphone, we're going to pick up here where the Bible says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, Nehemiah said, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. We learn in Nehemiah chapter 1 that Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king, meaning that he was trusted. He had a very unique relationship with the king. And Nehemiah was the taste tester. He would taste the wine and drink the wine to make sure that it was not poisonous and that it was safe for the king to drink. So the king had to trust Nehemiah implicitly. And Nehemiah got word from Hanani, his brother, and others about the condition of his homeland, Jerusalem. And as he heard the news, he was so overwhelmed with grief that he fasted and prayed and wept many days, so broken over the condition of his homeland. and of his people. And God used that burden to grip his heart. And that conversation with Hanani changed the trajectory of Nehemiah's life. But we're going to also notice it leads him to another conversation that will literally change the trajectory of his life. And how God uses moments in our lives and conversations in our lives to nudge us into his will so that we can abide in God's will. And what I want to know this morning is how can we walk in wisdom? Well, the first essential is practice self-control. We see that here in Nehemiah's life. It's hard to detect, but between chapter 1 and chapter 2 is a four-month period. Nehemiah spent those 4 months seeking God, praying, agonizing before the Lord for the people he was so burdened for. But also during that time, Nehemiah had a season of planning and positioning himself for the moment. And we notice that he had this season of concealing his pain and his burden and his sadness. And yet Nehemiah exhibited through that patience and self-control. It would have been so easy for Nehemiah to just have an outburst of agony, but instead he was willing to embrace self-control. And Nehemiah waited for God's timing. As you know, in our culture, everything is instant. And we are not used to waiting. We don't do well waiting. In fact, whenever we go through a fast food drive-through and they tell us to move forward to space number one or space number two, we get upset because we don't wait well. Here's a valuable lesson from God's Word. Learn the value of waiting. Learn the value of waiting. Waiting is not wasted time. We've been waiting for progress reports related to this COVID season we're in. We've been waiting for the okay to lift the social distancing parameters. We've been waiting for houses of worship to be able to be fully reopened and then move in so that we can regather physically. And we've had some delays along the way. We're waiting to find out whether school will be back in session on campus or continue the virtual experience. We're waiting for those who have lost jobs to see if they will get a new job. For those who have been furloughed, if they will be reinstated in their current role that they're furloughed from. We're waiting to see what develops globally. We're waiting for the stock markets to rebound and see what direction they will continue to go. We're waiting to see what's next and where we go from here. And I want to say to you this morning that waiting is not wasted time. Learn the value of waiting. While you are waiting, God is working. And I want to shout that while you are waiting, God is working. In fact, while you were sleeping, God was working. And God knows right where you are, and God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows where you've been, he knows where you are, and God knows where he wants you to be. And while you're waiting, God is working. Even in the midst of feeling like you're taking a detour in life, or maybe you've experienced a major delay in your life, and you feel even derailed in your life, while you're waiting, God is working, and you can trust God. You know, the Bible says that God collects our tears in a bottle. He even counts our tears. That the hairs upon our head are numbered. Now, for some, that's not a major miracle, but for others, that's a major miracle. That even the hairs upon your head are numbered. God knows everything about you. And while you're waiting, God is working. And what God expects of us to walk in wisdom is to practice self-control. So we're going to keep planning, we're going to keep preparing, we're going to keep growing and developing and becoming everything God wants us to be so that we will move into his assignment. Practice self-control. Here's essential number two for walking in wisdom. Get real about how you feel. I've been reading a book that has been rather captivating. The book is entitled, Your Body Keeps Score. It's written by a doctor who had studied PTSD. Those who have served in the military and been on the battlefield and have come back home with post-traumatic stress disorder. And he talks about how the brain is wired and how your body keeps score, how your body will tell on you. And I want to say to you, though this is not the tragedy or the level of the battlefields that our military returned from, but this season we're in, COVID-19, 2020, has generated some major stress and anxiety. I know you have felt it. You've walked through that. You've experienced that. And some of us suppress our feelings, some of us express our feelings, but either way, whether you're a suppressor or an expressor, your body keeps score. So get real about how you feel. And we see that in Nehemiah's journey. Look with me in chapter 2, verse 2. And the king said to me, notice Nehemiah's in the king's presence. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. And Nehemiah said, then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? You see, Nehemiah was afraid due to the risk associated with being sad in the king's presence. To be sad in the king's presence literally put his life on the line. The king could have had Nehemiah not only removed, but killed. Because Nehemiah's sadness is a reflection of the king's leadership, and the king wanted his palace environment to be positive and upbeat and a reflection of his leadership. So anything negative, anything that would in any way take away from his leadership would have been considered a threat. So Nehemiah risked his life getting real about how he felt. Nehemiah was able to clarify the source of his sadness after identifying that he was very much afraid, as you can imagine. And he let the king know, here's the source of my sadness. It's my homeland. It's my people. All that they're going through, all that they've experienced with the walls being broken down and the gates burned with fire, all that they are experiencing in my homeland. And Nehemiah was able to get real about this burden that he had been bearing. Remember that vision is a picture of a preferable future that ignites passion. And we all have a vision of a preferable future. We look to the future and we see better days. We see brighter days and we are orienting our lives around that. We are looking forward to crossing this Jordan on dry ground and entering the land flowing with milk and honey, aren't we? Vision is a picture of what could be and what should be. And God will give you a vision for your personal walk with Him, a vision for your health, a vision for marriage, a vision for family, a vision for your career, a vision for your ministry, what could be and what should be. And vision is often birthed out of a burden. And I want you to understand that God uses pain. God uses pain. And sometimes God will allow us to go through difficult circumstances, which involves pain, which involves discomfort, which involves a delay, which involves something that for us may be cataclysmic. God uses pain. And what I've learned in my journey with God is God doesn't waste trauma. God doesn't waste pain. God doesn't waste delays in our lives. God uses them for our good and for His glory. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis is this: God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So here's a good takeaway. Here's a good action step. to write down. Pay attention to the tension inside of you. Pay attention to the tension inside of you. I want you to look within for just a moment. What is God stirring inside of you? What burden are you bearing? What pain are you nursing? Pay attention to the tension inside of you. And what you will discover as you practice self-control, as you get real about how you feel, what you will discover is that your greatest, most deep burden of your life, that your deepest burden can lead to your greatest blessing. So take time for the pain. Pay attention to the tension inside of you. That is God at work in you. And maybe God has you on the potter's wheel where he's molding you and shaping you. And when he finds something marred in his hands, he will continue to work and mold and shaping you into Christ's likeness. And often that's a painful process. But your deepest burden can lead to your greatest blessing. We're walking in wisdom. Essential number three. Trust God's provision for every decision. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, the one who provided manna from heaven, quail in the evening, the one who caused water to flow from a rock, the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That God, our creator, our sustainer, is the God that you can trust. The very God that you can entrust your life to. Why? Because God is trustworthy. God is dependable. God is faithful. And he'll never leave you nor let you down. We pick up in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I want you to notice the provision of this moment, the provision of this conversation that God orchestrated that led to the king's question, "What are you requesting?" In other words, Nehemiah, what can I do for you? You want to talk about the power of a moment, the power of one conversation? What are you requesting? And then we notice how God continues to work as Nehemiah responds in prayer. Now, this was what we would call a flash prayer, a breath prayer, a prayer in the moment. The king says, "What are you requesting?" And then the response is, "So I prayed to the God of heaven. Oh God, give me wisdom for this moment. Oh God, give me words to speak. God, infuse me with courage and boldness and tenacity. So I prayed to the God of heaven." So God gives this provision of prayer, sacred conversation. And we're so blessed, aren't we, to have that provision in our own journey with God, that God gives us this sacred privilege called prayer. We just preached a whole series on it called Rhythm, Living in Sync with the Heartbeat of God. This gift of prayer that you can commune with the creator of the universe, whether it's in a moment, spontaneous prayer, or ongoing, unbroken communion with God. We are so blessed to have that gift of prayer. Nehemiah, we see here, never lost sight of his dependence upon God. He prayed to God, to the God of heaven. Nehemiah understood that he needed God's provision for every decision. And I want to challenge you, be prepared for the conversation that God can change in your life, the trajectory of your future. Be prepared for that moment. Be prepared for that conversation. Be prepared for the conversation that literally can change the trajectory of your life. In other words, I want to challenge you this morning, live in ready mode. Be prepared. Live with great anticipation and expectancy that God's going to give you your moment, that God's going to orchestrate that conversation and your one conversation from realizing God's destiny for your life. God's vision is being formed in you. God's vision is being developed in you, and God's vision will be released in you. You're one moment, one conversation away from that vision becoming a reality. So position yourself for the moment. Now, right now, you may say, Pastor Stephen, I know what God has put in my heart to do. I just don't know how to do it. And that's where you have to be very patient. As God continues to build the what he wants you to do, what he wants you to attain, what door he wants you to walk through, what bridge he wants you to cross. So get in tune with the what of what God is doing in you. That's vision, what. And then over time, God will show you how. Whenever I'm visioneering with our staff here at Champion Forces, I spend time with God and envision what could be and what should be for Champion Forest Baptist Church. The future God has in store for us as one church in four locations, multicultural, multi-site, and multi-generational. As I'm visioneering, I'm very selective on who I invite to my visioneering table. As I'm dealing with what God is showing me, what I see, what's resonating in my spirit, I don't want the how people to the table too soon because they start asking how before I've really gotten clear on the what. And as God builds his vision inside of you, be careful who you invite to the dream table. You need to stay in the wow of God's what before you move to the how of God's what. Ask God to show you and to build that vision inside of you. And then be prepared for that conversation that can change the trajectory of your life. Look with me at verse 5. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, I love that. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah. He's going for it, isn't he? To the city of my father's graves. And here it is, that I may rebuild it. There's the vision. And now Nehemiah has gone public with his vision before the king. He was ready for the moment. He had practiced self-control. He had been very patient, learning the value of waiting. And here he's trusting God's provision for every decision, and he goes public on the vision with the king, and the king gets to respond. I love how Nehemiah is unveiling his vision for the mission. And Nehemiah had to shift from viewing himself as a cupbearer to start viewing himself as a contractor. He had to realize that God was doing something inside of him much larger than he ever dreamed, moving him from being a cupbearer to being a contractor. But Nehemiah had to trust God's provision in every decision. I notice here how God spent years preparing and positioning Nehemiah and King Artaxerxes for what was about to unfold. You consider from the time Nehemiah was a little boy how God had been engineering his circumstances to ensure him a place among the palace servants. From there, God maneuvered him through the ranks of the influential Persian officials so that Nehemiah was noticed for his integrity and trustworthiness. And eventually, he was recommended to the king by some unknown palace staffer. And then, one day, he was appointed to the position of cupbearer, getting proximity to the king, having access to the king, being able to demonstrate before the king integrity and character and being dependable and trustworthy. And then God, in God's perfect timing, God promoted Nehemiah for this amazing mission of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So I want to challenge you to gain God's perspective on your circumstances. Maybe you're on a season right now. Just the season you're in is a season of waiting. And God's still working. He's molding you, building you, growing you. And I agree with Henry Blackaby, who said, God is always developing our character to match the assignment. So I want to challenge you this morning, saturate your journey in prayer. Wherever you are in this current season of life, wherever you are currently in your career or in school or in development or in retirement, that God has a purpose for you. Saturate your journey in prayer and commune with God and let God unveil the vision. Look at verse 6. And the king said to me, and I love this, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone and when will you return? Now that obviously didn't come from the king. The king was about to say, well, of course you can do this, Nehemiah. The queen said, ask him how long he'll be gone. So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. You know, as you navigate change and transition in life, the number one question people ask is this: how will this affect me? Anytime we go through change or transition, the number one question people ask, how will this affect me? The king wanted to know, the queen wanted to know, Nehemiah, if you embrace this mission, this vision, how will it affect me? And the same is true in your journey. As you pursue God daily and you start pursuing God's dream that He's placed inside of you, and you start allowing God to build this vision of what could be and what should be, you've got to be ready, because not everybody's going to be as excited about it as you are. And that's where patience comes in, and allowing God to work and to move you and to stir you as you walk with Him. Nehemiah was so ready for his moment, wasn't he? Ready to answer the question. He had prepared, he had planned, he had done his due diligence so that whenever his moment came, he would be ready. And I want to challenge you, be ready for the moment God orchestrates. Look with me now, verse 7 and 8. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Nehemiah was ready for his moment. And I love how God's provision includes human instrumentality. You think about what God is accomplishing on this earth. God doesn't need us. God chooses to use us. And the reality is, God doesn't need you. God chooses to use you. And only God could have engineered these circumstances. God is using a pagan king to finance the dream. God is using this secular government to underwrite the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Only God could do that. Where God guides, He always provides. You can trust God's provision for every decision. And even now, I so agree with Andy Stanley, who said, God is using your circumstances to position and prepare you to accomplish His vision for your life. God knows exactly what you need right now, and God knows what it's going to take to get you where He wants you to be. You see, doing God's work God's way involves trusting God every step of the way. So what if you started walking in wisdom? What would that look like in your life? What would be different in your rhythm? What would be different in your routine? What would be different in your mindset? What would be different in your heart if you started walking in wisdom? As a church, we've been reading daily in our daily devotionals at championforce.org. That's emailed to us every morning, reading through the book of Proverbs. And it's been excellent. I want to share three verses from that wonderful chapter 4 of Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Proverbs 4:26 and 27, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. What does walking in wisdom look like? Well, it has to do with your heart, your eyes, and your feet. Your heart, your eyes, and your feet. That your heart is in alignment with God. Your eyes are looking straight before you to the path God has for you. And your feet are taking ways that are firm, not straying to the right or to the left. That there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death. God wants you to take His way, because God's way is always the best way. Walking in wisdom by walking in God's word. Walking in wisdom, how? By practicing self-control, learning the value of waiting, by getting real about how you feel, paying attention to the tension, by trusting God's provision for every decision, knowing where God guides, He always provides. So what is keeping you from walking in wisdom. I love John 15:5, such a wonderful reminder of our need for an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you connected to Christ? Have you come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ that has changed your forever? You can have an abiding love relationship with Jesus that is real, that is authentic, that is personal, and eternal. And I want to invite you to make the wisest decision you can make today. And that is to repent of your sin and to trust in Jesus alone for salvation. The wisest decision you will ever make in your lifetime is to repent of your sin and to place your faith in Jesus alone for salvation. And I want to help you make that decision now. It's the wise thing to do. In fact, it has eternity written all over it. Would you bow with me? And I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer with me as you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Pray this with me. Dear God, thank you for choosing to love me. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Just say that to him. I believe he rose again, and I believe he lives today. Lord, I repent of my sins, and I place my faith in Jesus alone for salvation. Thank you for your wonderful love and for changing my life forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, inviting Jesus Christ to take over your life, we want to help you in your journey with the Lord. If you'll text your name to the number on the screen, the number is 281-688-2630. If you'll just text your name to that number, one of our ministers will contact you to talk with you about next steps. Where do you go from here in your relationship with Jesus Christ? We want to help you grow in your faith and develop your spiritual muscles. We want to help you take those next steps that are so vital in your journey with God. Any questions you may have, they can answer. And maybe for you, you already know the Lord and just need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you've been gripped by a burden that you know God is building inside of you, this vision for what could be and what should be, and you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe you're going through a difficult season of grief or job loss, and you need somebody to pray with you. Just text your name to the number on the screen, and one of our pastors will contact you and pray with you and assist you. Let God have his way in your life. You matter to God. He loves you so much, and God's not through with you. Remember, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And if God allows it, God will use it for your good and for his glory.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.